Thank you. Y'all can be seated if you want to. Amen. Or stand up. That's fine with me. I've seen people stand up in church, and it's fine with me. Amen. We got something to praise the Lord about. But it's good to be here. And back at Lighthouse Baptist in Circleville. And thank you for letting me come. I appreciate the opportunity. Mean that. Lots of new faces here. That's exciting. And always good to see some. Make some new friends, and it's just brother, your preacher and his family. I love them dearly. I love Brother Nathan, and I'm glad to hear what I'm going to say this morning. Amen. Thank God for that. He told me to preach a long time, huh? What about that? I heard about a guy, a preacher preached on and on and on once. And the guy got up and started walking out, and he looked at him and said, "Brother, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get my hair cut." He said, "Why didn't you get your hair cut before church started?" He said, "It didn't need to be cut before church started." Anyway, so you could preach too long, and we won't do that. We've all been in those sermons. The biggest blessing is when it's over, amen? And so we'll try not to do that. But it's good to be here. It's good to hear the church is doing well. Thank God for that. That's exciting. It really is. Folks getting saved and people come to church. It's just good, amen? And it's not like that everywhere. Now, folks, I'm telling you, I get out and around and about, and it's good to be a place where there's some life about it, amen? It's a place got a pulse, and it's the blessing of God, and we don't... Lord, help us to remember to thank Him for what He does, amen? 10 were healed, and only one came back to say thank you. I don't want to be that way, you know? I want to come back and... thank the Lord when He does something and answers a prayer. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson this morning on the Word of God. Somebody said, though the cover is worn, the pages are torn, and places there are tears, yet more precious than gold is this book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. It's a friend by my side that will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it each day. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. And that we hold in our very hand. And we have some Christian brothers and sisters that would be perhaps put to death if they got caught with what's in our hand right now. And sometimes we take that for granted, I think. And let's thank God for it. Take your Bible, Matthew 27. And I've told you before, if you've heard me preach much, I don't preach masterpieces. I don't know how. So what I do know is that the Word of God does its part. And we just want to look at it and get some thoughts this morning and go from there. Thank you again, though, so much for letting me come and be here. I preach around here, there, and yonder. They call me the staff evangelist now. I'm not the pastor anymore. There's something just so wonderful when somebody's got a problem to say, "Go see the preacher." You know, just, he will want to hear your concerns, you know, and you go right down that way, you know. And I've enjoyed that. I haven't been to a committee meeting in 4 years, and it's just wonderful, you know. And so I'm not against committees, but I'm glad I'm not going to them, amen, you know. Somebody said, Vance Abner said a camel was a Baptist committee's idea of a horse. You know, I don't know. There's probably some truth to that. Oh, that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? But anyway, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. I thank God for that. I like what I do. That's I don't dread tomorrow. I'm enjoying it. I'm meeting lots of good people. And we have a wonderful Lord. Amen. Amen. We have a wonderful Savior. Sometimes I think we get kind of used to the magnificent, and we've got to stop back and look at it. Boy, isn't it neat to be saved and to know you're on your way to heaven and you have Christ in your heart and a mansion waiting in heaven and the Word of God as a guide and the Spirit of God within your heart and the Jesus that said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Boy, that's good. Amen? And we're spiritual billionaires, and we act like paupers sometimes. Shame on us. Thank God for what He's done. All right, Matthew 27, just a few thoughts this morning. Matthew 27, we'll start reading verse number 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Lord, we thank you for your word, that we have it, Lord, in our language, and Lord, preserved and infallible for us. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, bless as we try to preach. Lord, we thank you for the music. We thank you for every handshake and smile. And Lord, your obvious hand of blessing upon this dear church and Lord, our pastor and this dear people. And Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. Bless Brother Nathan as he preaches yonder in Xenia. Thank you for the one saved. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, continue to work there and that we'd hear even more good reports. I pray, Lord, down in this room, Lord, and that you'd speak to hearts. If there be one lost here that doesn't know for certain that heaven's their home, Lord, I pray they could understand that they can get that settled today, and that this could be the day that they would look back on in eternity when you came in and dwelled in their heart and they received the gift of salvation. Lord, I don't know the needs in this room. I see friendly people, but Lord, I suspect there's some burdens and some heartaches. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, no matter what the situation, remind us all that Christ is still the answer and that your grace is still sufficient. And Lord, I pray that you'd just work in our lives, and in every situation, work it out for our good, but most of all for your glory. Lord, thank you for all you have done, and we thank you now by faith for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll talk this morning about Pilate. The crucifixion of Christ is recorded in great detail in the Bible, especially in the four Gospels, as well as elsewhere. And much of that detail centers around this man named Pilate. Pilate was the governor of Judea. He had a source. He had a great job if all you care about is making money and living well. He was not stupid. He had no character about him, but he was not stupid. He had a good job, and he desperately wanted to keep it. One of his main jobs under Caesar, and of course the Roman government, you know, was the big dog controlling that the entire area that we would call Israel today at that time. And Pilate's main job was to keep everything calmed down in Jerusalem. That was his job. We don't want any riots. We don't want any uproars. We certainly don't want the Jews rising up. Because the Jews were under the subjugation of the Roman government. Jesus was the rightful king, but yet Joseph was a carpenter. Why was that? Jesus was the son of David, but yet because Rome was in charge. And Rome told the leaders, like Pilate, you keep everything calm down. We don't want them rising up and having a big uproar. And so when the crowd brought in this one named Jesus before Pilate, screaming, let him be crucified, and you got this mob rising up, it was the last thing in the world Pilate wanted to deal with. He would have got out of this in a heartbeat if he could have just figured out how. But yet here he was, and suddenly he's looking face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read here just a moment ago, much of that dialogue that took place between them. Kind of boils down, it seems to me like, in verse number 22, Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Bottom line, what am I going to do with him? What am I going to do with him? Folks, you listen to me, my friends. That question faces every mother's child that's ever walked on this planet. What am I going to do with Jesus? It wasn't just Pilate's question. That's my question. That's your question. And it faces us. And the whole truth amounts to this. While Jesus was, in a sense, on trial before Pilate, the real trial here was Pilate was on trial before God. And the outcome of that trial was going to come down to this, what he does with Christ. Someday, we'll all stand before God. I'm not going to preach a prophecy message here on the Bema Seat and the Great White Throne Judgment and all that. It's a wonderful study. I'm sure Pastor Nathan has preached on those things before and will again. But bottom line, we're all going to stand before God someday. That day will come. And how it turns out is going to be what I did with Jesus and what you did with Jesus. The day will come when nothing else is going to matter except what you did with the Lord Jesus Christ. The car's not going to matter. The number in the bank book's not going to matter. Who you voted for in the last election is not going to matter. Where you lived at is not going to matter. The day will come, what I was my response, what did I do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? When Pilate hears before, he could have made the right decision. He obviously didn't. I know lots of Johns and Andrews and Pauls and Lukes, but I've never met anybody that mama named him Pilate. Amen? I've never met that in my life. I do know one dog that was named Pilate. The guy didn't like dogs, you know. Nobody names their baby Pilate. Not stupid, but yet no character. But he could have done the right thing as much as anybody else. He could have done the right thing. I'm responsible for what my answer is to what I'm going to do with Jesus. It's not your mama. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your mama. It's not your daddy. It's not your teacher. It's not Pastor Woodworth. You will give an account, and I will give an account. Each one of us will give an account for ourselves of what we've done with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate could have done the right thing. Pilate had some privileges, if you will. He could have done the right. He had Jesus looking right at him. Pilate was spouting off, "Well, what's truth?" And he was speaking to the truth. It was looking at him. There he was. He could have done the right thing. Seems to me like there were kind of like some voices that spoke to Pilate. I don't mean, I don't mean that. I don't mean the Twilight Zone. But I mean there were some influences, that there were some impact upon his life that God certainly allowed and directed for him to. One of those things was the voice of his conscience. Pilate said, "I find no fault in him." What's he done? You're coming at me with this man and you're saying, "Crucify him." Well, why should I? What has he done? And he said over and over, "I find no fault in him." Friend, I don't know where each of you are in your faith. I don't know. You dear visitors that's here, don't be discouraged. Come back tonight and hear Brother Nathan preach. Amen. You know, and you'll like him. You know, he's a great guy. But don't be discouraged. But I don't know where you're at in all of that. But you listen to me. You will find no fault in Jesus. You'll find fault in every preacher that ever walks on this planet. He's saying, "You're saying you're not perfect? Don't talk to my wife. She's got too much information." Amen. None of us are perfect. I heard about a man preaching one day, and he says, "Has anybody here ever heard of anybody outside of Jesus? Anybody even ever heard of anybody that was perfect?" One man said, "I heard of one." Tammy said, "Who?" He said, "My wife's first husband." Oh, that's funny. Don't you think that's funny? You know, but the whole truth is there is none perfect. The Bible says there's none perfect, no, not one. The Bible says if any man say he has no sin, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. The Bible says that we all have sinned and gone astray. There's no perfect preacher. There's no perfect deacon. There's no perfect mom. There's no perfect dad. There's no perfect grandkids except mine. There's no perfect people. You listen to me. We're not perfect. And then somebody come along and so the deacon or the preacher or the missionary, and well, did you know what they did? No. I'm really not, you know. I would be blessed if I've heard the last one of those stories that I have to listen to on this planet. You know, and you say, but it really happened. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. People, I'm 67 years old. I've been in church all of my life. And for any story you've got, I guarantee you I can top you. I'm at the point now where nothing surprises me. I mean that. And I'm kind of carrying on, but I'm kind of not. I mean that. I was in church before I had a name. Back in those days, you was allowed to take the kid home. You could fill out the birth certificate later. They couldn't decide what to name me, so when I got to church, they called me Boy. Like Tarzan and Jane's kid. You know, I was Boy, you know. And then they decided on Terrell, according to my mama, and Turl, according to my daddy. You talk about a complex. I don't know what my name is. You know, I'm Terrell or Turl, one of the two. I don't know, but that's me. And I've been around. You listen to me. And I'm not. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And you listen to me. There's three people in your spot. You think there's only one, but there's three people. One is just who you are right now, and another one is almost unlimited potential for evil, and unlimited potential for good. No wonder you feel crowded. Amen. Right. That's true. You say, well, I'd never do that. You be careful about boasting. The Bible says that goes right before a fall. And be careful about saying, well, God can't ever use me either. You're not sloughing off on you. You're sloughing off on God. God said he could. Amen? And I'm just saying, we see that. And you're going to see failure in leaders. It's going to happen. I'm not happy about that, but it's going to. I had a preacher friend. I preached for him, and somebody told me something about him, and I got in the flesh, and I said, you'll give an account for God for saying that, and I don't believe that, and you've heard a lie, and you're spreading that lie, and you're wrong, and I want you to know I'm disappointed in you. Boy, I was upset. I mean, I just could not believe that he would say that about him. Wonderful ministry, and people getting saved, and I remember sitting in front of a computer and kicking up the news in that town and sat there and wept. It was true. It was true. I'd have never believed that. But it was true. That still hurts me. Sadly, that's not the... You listen to me. I don't care. I do care about this when it happens, but you listen to me. You say, well, preacher, why don't you quit? You've been so disappointed, and you know all these people that's had moral failure. Lehman Strauss, anybody read Lehman Strauss' books? Or find one at a garage sale, buy it. It's good. You won't waste any money. Lehman, great, great thing. I heard him preach when I was in college. Great preacher. He writes doctrinal books on books of the Bible. Lehman Strauss told me, he said he had a little book, and pastors and preachers that had moral failure in their life. Moral failure. And he started writing names down and praying for them every day. Every day, prayed for them. That little book got up to 600 names. And he said he burned it because he was so afraid somebody would get hold of it and figure out what it was all about. He said, Brother Terrell, then let's just all go home if that's what it's like. The thing is, I'm not depending on any preacher to take me to heaven. I'm depending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not depending upon the deacon. I'm not depending upon the church. I'm not depending upon the church secretary. I'm not depending upon the uncle. I'm not depending upon the Sunday school teacher. Folks, it's going to be part of life. We're going to see folks fail, but you listen to me. Don't let that put a damper on you upon putting your faith in Christ. There are. I was going door to door one day, knocked on the door, and a woman told me, there's hypocrites at your church. I said, one more won't make no difference. Come on, you know. And you listen to me. You let somebody get in between you and God. They're closer to God than you are anyway. What are you fussing about? We don't look to people. We look to a Savior. A Savior that was spotless, a Savior that was sinless, a Savior that never said, oops, a Savior that never said, I'm sorry, I messed up, a Savior that was never late, a Savior that was never early. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, and I am glad because He is a full and sufficient Savior and the only source of going to heaven when we leave this world. Amen. By the way, when you leave this world, you're going to one of two places. Now, you can get mad at my preaching, whatever you want to do, but you listen to me. If you want to die and go to hell, you can. You say, well, that's blunt. I'm just saying you can. You can just say, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going there. I know that's what the Bible says, but I'm just not doing it. You can do that if you want to. I don't see why you would, but you can. If you make that decision, God will honor your decision. He gave you a free will, and you can exercise it as you see, and God will honor that. You can also go to heaven if you want to. Whosoever, I'm a whosoever, I'm going, you know. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm in, I'm doing it. I'm not trusting Terrell Hudson or Nathan Woodworth or any deacon or any preacher. Not my mama, not my daddy. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone. You can get it settled. You can go to hell if you want to. You can go to heaven if you want to. But, listen to me, you can't stay here. You can't stay here. How many freedoms have you preached, Brother Terrell? I have no idea. I have no idea. We got a new floor in our house. I mean, that we saved up and got a little money put together, and we got some new flooring because the old stuff was awful. So we got some new flooring. And we got my little study, and we're moving it around. And I got this filing cabinet, and I'm taking the drawers out, you know, so it's easier to move. My son's in there trying to help me. And I'm pulling the drawers out of my desk, and I'm pulling the bottom two drawers out of a file cabinet over the corner. And there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them little revival, those little funeral flyers. Every time I preach a funeral, I write down the name, I write down the date, I'll save the obituary, and I'll stick it in there. And they're full. 45 years of preaching funerals. And they're full. I showed my son. I got to thinking about it. More than I realized, I got to looking. And they all went to one of two places. That's it. That's it. Pilate had some privileges. He knew that there was no fault. You won't find a fault in Jesus. Voice of reason. He knew that for envy they had delivered him, the Bible says. Who delivered him? The preachers. You down on preachers? No, but I'm just telling you. The religious leaders. They was in a hurry to get him down off the cross. You know how they hurried it up and got him down off the cross right quick? Had to get church. You read your King James Bible. That's exactly what it says. It was the religious leaders. What was wrong with them? They were jealous. This man, they go into the temple. They're standing out on the corner. They couldn't get anybody to come and listen to him. Jesus goes down by the sea and 5,000 show up. They had these boring sermons. Everybody's going to sleep. Jesus is raising the dead. Guess where the life is at? Amen. You know, the excitement, you know. And all these throngs are following Jesus. They couldn't get any attention. They're jealous of him. Pilate is sorry, but he's not stupid. He knew that for envy they had delivered him. He reasoned that out. Come now, let us reason together, the Bible says. Now think about it. Now think about it. If you're and you're lost, you know there's a God. Creation demands a creator. Amen? There's something about walking out and looking at a rainbow and hearing a bluebird sing. You just know somebody designed that. Amen? This nonsense that we all came from monkeys is not. Poem says, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, and then I was a frog with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey in a banyan tree, but now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Amen. My words, that's nonsense. You go to kindergarten, they talk about frogs that become princes. You go to college, they say, yeah, that's true. Never heard it in all my life. You know. But Lord have mercy. No, there's a creation demands a creator. Changed lives prove there's a God. Some of you all sitting right here used to have a refrigerator full of booze. You pulled up in the driveway, your kids ran and hid. They don't do any of that anymore. How do you explain that? Because they become a new creature in Christ, and Jesus moved in, and he took that away. Amen. Changed life, hope for tomorrow, that needs met, fulfilled prophecy. Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites. Anybody read about them in the newspaper lately? What about Israelites? You ever heard of the Israelites? Israelites that had 40 million Arabs around them in 1948 and said, we're going to kill you. And now they're one of the strongest nations in all the world, and they're flourishing, and they're speaking the same Hebrew that Amos spoke on the streets of Haifa. How in the world do you explain that except that that's God's chosen people, and God says he has a plan for Israel, and God's going to bless them? I mean, fulfilled prophecy. You know why there's no prophecy in other religions? Because they don't want to look stupid. They're not going to write down, you know, this nation's going to survive, and there's going to be, you know, a common mark of nations of Europe, and there's going to be a one world government someday, and knowledge will increase, and Israel's going to be blessed. They're not going to, you know, and that the life of the flesh is in the blood circulation, that the world is round and it's not flat. No, nobody else wrote out stuff like that because they didn't know, they didn't want to look stupid, but yet the Bible's full of it. Why? Because we studied in Sunday school this morning, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see that? Isn't that reasonable? Come now, let us reason again. There was a voice of reason. Pilate had some privileges, but yet he... And then the voice of Christ himself that spoke to him. You know, if you'll listen, God will speak to your heart. He will. You lay down on your pillow at night and put your head on you. You worry about what happens if I die before I wake up. Why is that? Because God's placed eternity in your heart. Those Indians, happy hunting ground. Where'd they get an idea like that? Brother Cho, do you believe they were right? No, their theology is wrong. But they knew there was more than this life. That they knew that the Egyptians, you know, they'd kill the dog and put it in there with the guy, and they'd put all this grain and food and everything, and that old Pharaoh, and it's incredible, the embalming and all of that, for they'd last, because somehow or another they just knew that there was more past this life. It was just there. Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. You just know there's a hole there. People try to fill it with sex and drugs and gambling and fun and leisure and education, but nothing fills it, and there's that ache, that want. Why? Because somehow or another, deep in our soul, there's that longing, and that longing is the need for Christ, and Christ is the only thing that scratches that itch. Are you staying with me? Come now, let us reason together. Pilate was unreasonable. There was a voice of a loved one, old Mrs. Pilate. Old Mrs. Pilate came to him. Remember what she said? Have thou nothing to do with that man. I've suffered many things because of a dream because of him. She said, don't you? If you're lost, you're probably here this morning. And folks, I love you. You know, you say, is he mad at me? No, I'm not mad at all. We had a high school girl. She brought her friend to church. One of the last, I'm on evangelism now and I preach all over, but one of the last times I preached at Moraine Heights, these two teenage girls left, and one of them was the first time she'd ever been at church, and she looked at her friend and said, what's he so mad about? She said, well, he's not mad. You know, he just preaches. And I'm not mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at the devil. I'm not mad. But listen to me. Come now, let us reason together. There was that, if you're here, it's probably because somebody loves you. Somebody invited you. Somebody cares for your soul. You can't die and go to hell and say nobody cared when you have a mama that's prayed for you, or a brother or a sister or a Sunday school teacher or a preacher or somebody that showed they love you. Pilate had the voice, but Pilate had no pressures against him. One was public opinion. He didn't want to lose his life as he knew it. How many people are going to die and go to hell because they thought their friends would laugh at them? How many people are going to die and go to hell because they love their sin? Drugs, booze. You said, Brother Terrell, I'm into all of that. Does God hate me? No, God loves you. God loves you. But preacher, I've probably gone too far. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. Last time I was at Moraine Heights, I preach out and around, and the last Sunday night I was at Moraine Heights. Moraine Heights is we're old-fashioned, hard-headed. You know, that's just us. You know, that's just how we are. And very, very much like you, convictions and believe what you all believe. I was sitting in the back getting ready to listen to Patrick preach, and I looked when they collected the offering. I got a blessing. It made me want to shout. I saw my usher coming. Here come my usher. You know, I was over there. Here he come. And he's got his plate, and he's collecting the offering. And you say, you shout when you see ushers. I come in a hair. You're crazy. What do you get? Why? My usher was covered up with tattoos. You couldn't see his hands. Just covered up. Has them around his eyeballs and wild looking. Got them on his neck. Rough as a cob. I mean, you see him coming. He kind of, maybe the other side of the street might be where I'd like to go. You know, he's scary looking. Wild. Got him around the top of his eyeballs and around his neck and all over his head. And here he comes. You said all of your ushers look like that? No. What do you got an usher like that for? My pastor now, my son-in-law, is Patrick. He met this man down by the Dayton Mall. He was out into no good himself, but another man was drunk and walked out in front of his car. He was driving, shouldn't have been, but he was. Hit the man and killed him. Patrick's chaplain from Miami Township Police, and he was called to the scene, and he comes up and standing there next to a body covered up with a big blanket. He began to talk to the driver, who was not prosecuted because the other guy wasn't in a crosswalk, so he kept his freedom. But he began to talk to this man, wild-eyed and covered with tattoos and rough as a cob. The police began pulling up, and every one of them knew him. Every one of them knew him. They knew him very well. Most of them had arrested him over and over again. And standing there beside a body covered up with a canvas, Patrick pulled a New Testament out and said, God still loves you. You can still be saved. And he went through the plan of salvation, and he bowed his head, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Started coming to an addiction program we've got at church. Stood up the other night. Has not missed a service that I can think of since that night. And stood up in prayer meeting the other night, and he said, I think God's called me to preach. And he started to do some study and to learn how to preach. You say, who in the world's going to listen to him? Maybe somebody else that's had a rough life and is covered up with tattoos and his own drug addiction. And he finds out something that God still loves me too. And I can still be safe. Friend, I don't care what you've done. You say, oh, you preacher, you live this little old pitiful protected life. I have been blessed and been raised by godly parents. But listen to me. You have not gone too far. There is no sin that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot wash white. God still loves you. You listen to that. Don't you ever believe a lie of the devil? You can be saved today. Today. Amen. Whosoever will, let him come. That will means want to. You want to? Come on. Come on. You don't have to be white, black, yellow, green, or purple to get saved. God loves us all. You don't have to be Republican or Democrat or independent. God loves us all. You don't have to be rich or poor. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen. God loved Pilate. There was that, but Pilate didn't want to lose his position. He liked being governor. He liked being waited on. And when he thought about that life, he just didn't want to turn loose of it. Don't turn loose of it. Turn loose of the sin. Trust Christ. I have a Charles King, pastor, First Baptist of Milford. Have you ever heard Brother King preach? A Bearing Precious Seed Ministry, tracts, free, blah, blah, blah. Great guy. He said this publicly, so I can repeat him. He got done preaching one Sunday, and his dear wife come walking down the aisle. Here she comes. Just skipping right along pretty quick, you know. And bup, 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 you know. And she was all distraught, and Pastor King saw her coming and said, well, she's coming to pray. She's probably, you know, just got a burden. And his precious wife walked up to him, looked him in the face, and said, I'm not going to hell for you or nobody else. That's an odd statement from a wife to come up and tell the pastor, I'm not going to hell for you or nobody else. Whole truth is, she realized she had never been saved. And she had been keeping it as a secret, not to embarrass her husband. But she thought it through, and she thought how silly that was. She said, I'm not going to hell for him or anybody else. Nothing is worth dying and going to hell over. Amen. That Pilate had pride. There was a, didn't want to lose it. Let me say something real quick. Folks, don't let the devil paint. If you're here and lost, and we love you, we're happy. Maybe you're a church member, but you're lost. You say, can you do that? Not really, but you know what I'm saying. You know, that state, nothing is worth dying and going to hell over. So often, the devil will throw up somebody's a hypocrite, but that's, and maybe they are, but they shouldn't be, but that's not worth dying and going to hell over. Sometimes the devil throws up, all they want is your money. You ever heard that one? All they want is your money, you know. They collect an offering, you know. You listen to me. Money's got nothing to do with salvation. Zero. Nothing. You can put $1 jillion in the plate every Sunday and you die and go straight to hell if you're putting your faith there. What takes you to heaven is the shed blood of Christ on Calvary. Amen? Trust that. Back to the money part, though. All they want's my money. That church, all the churches are that way. Let's talk about that for a minute. Well, number one, God said the tithe is holy, and God uses that to fund His or to so send it out missionaries and the preacher and helping people and keeping the lights on and all of that. So there's a, but has nothing to do with money. But now listen to me. What if it did? It don't. But what if it did? What if it took $100,000 to get saved? It don't. But what if it did? What would you do? I know what I'd do. I'd start with where Diane's got that money here that she don't know about. Amen. I know where it's at. You know, and mad money they call it. You know, I know where I'd bust a piggy bank. I'd try to get a loan. I'd say, well, I'm not going to die and go to hell. I'd do whatever. I'd sell my truck. I mean, wouldn't you? Well, if we would do that, if it was $100,000, then why in the world, since it's free and Jesus paid it all, then why wouldn't we get saved immediately? There's no cost. You see, that Pilate tried to ignore it. Didn't work. Pilate tried to let somebody else deal with it. He heard the word Galilean. He said, Herod. Send him to Herod. Send him to Herod. What Herod do? Send him right back. You might be the only lost person in your house. They may be wonderful people, but all of their faith in Christ doesn't count to your account. You need to get saved for you. Amen? Need to save for you. Then Matthew 27:24, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, atonement was made. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. It's hard to imagine how somebody could say he's just, but go ahead and crucify him. I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You die and go to reject Christ and never see the street of gold in heaven. You listen to me. You say, Brother Till, do you really believe this pie in the sky, by and by business? I do. I do. You say, isn't it kind of childish? I don't think so. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. A lot of preachers say heaven is a myth. Vance Havner says they're a myth taken. Amen? Jesus said it was a real place, and I'll take his word on it over everybody else put together. Jesus said it was real. How in the world could someone, though, look at to reject heaven? And Pilate said, see ye to it, and called him a just man. You'll find no fault in Christ. You'll find no fault. There's a little story that's told. I don't think I've told it here before. I did this first sermon, but I don't think I told it before. It's just a little parable. It's not in the Bible. I don't have a verse. But it's just a little story. Of the devil having a big meeting in heaven trying to figure out how to keep people from getting saved. And the little story goes, he got all the demons together and said, well, how are we going to keep them from getting saved? And one demon holds his hand up and says, let's tell them there's no God. And the devil said, that won't work. He said, it'll work for some, but not many. He said, they see creation, they see changed lives. You have the Word of God that is enduring. He said, that won't work. Someone held his hand up and said, tell them all the Christians are hypocrites. Huh? The devil said, well, that won't work. Said, some of them are. But too many of them aren't. Too many of them really love God, and they don't claim to be perfect, but they try. They do the best they can. That won't work. One by one, they tried to offer. And then one little old demon on the side held his hand up, and he said, "I got an idea. What is it?" He said, "Let's tell them there's a God." Some of the demons laughed. "Tell them that there are some good Christians. Tell them that, the Bible's true. Tell them that." Other demons are saying, "He's gone crazy. What's wrong with him? Whose side's he on?" Then the little demon said, "But let's just tell them they got plenty of time. No need to do anything about it today. Just wait. Not today, just wait. Just wait. Just wait." And the story goes that all of hell rejoiced because they had a plan that they knew that'll work. That'll work. Go back home, get a six-pack of beer, get half drunk, watch a ball game, go out with the buddies Monday night, go bowling, have your fun. Just do it sometime before you die. But the problem is you don't know when you're going to die. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Our time is getting away, but I could take the next 30 minutes and preach to you about people whose funerals I preached in the week that I preached to in the pew that Sunday. Pretty much thought nothing was wrong, but God knew. Some time ago, a preacher in Tennessee called me. He said, "Charlie," said, "a family in my church has moved to Dayton. Said, I've got to go preach a meeting, Alabama or something, I forget now. He said, I can't get away," he said, "but he's probably going to die soon. And he said, they need a preacher." He said, "Could you help them?" I said, "I'd be glad to, be glad to." And long story short, he gave me the address. I said, it was the old grandpa of the group, the patriarch. He said, I said, "Is he living? Is he still living?" He said, "I think so." I said, "Is he saved?" He said, "I don't think so. I'm not sure." He said, "He didn't come to church." And I said, I'll go. And that evening, I got some loose ends put together. It was getting dark, and I went straight to the home. Well, east side of Dayton. It's all them row houses, you know, kind of tall and skinny, one after another, little sidewalk between them. Many of them are beautiful. But it was one of those homes. I went and made my way to it, and it's cold, man, it's cold. I remember that. Man came, I introduced myself. I said, "Your preacher in Tennessee called me, and he asked if I'd stop by and see you, and maybe I could help." And they said, "Yeah, he told us." And they said, "Come on in." And when I stepped in the door, there's two men sitting on the couch from Tobias Funeral Home. I mean, I know these guys. And I thought, well, has he passed away? And they said, "No." They're talking soft, hushed tones. They said, "We're close." He said, "He's upstairs." I said, "Can I go talk to him?" He said, "Help yourself." I made my way up those steps, over the side of the wall. The steps went up. And I pecked on the door, heard it come in, and I stepped inside. One little old lamp. It must have had like a 15-watt bulb in it, real dim. And it was sitting by the bed, and there was an elderly man sitting in there, kind of propped up a little bit. And I stepped in and said, "Hey, I'm a preacher. I know you're a preacher that you know in Tennessee, and I want to come by and talk with you." And he said, "Okay." Long story short, I went over. I talked to him a little bit. I asked him if he knew for certain that heaven was his home. And just plain as day, he said, no. I said, "Well, I can show you." And I didn't ask him if I could. I just pulled my Bible out, you know, and I started with Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10. You know, we've all sinned. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for us. And got down to Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I said, "Right here, right now." I said, "Look, are you a whosoever?" "Yeah." I said, "Is the Bible true?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "If you'll do that, then what would happen?" He said, "Well, I'd get saved." I said, "Let's do it right now. Just bow your head and pray." And he said, "I'm not ready." I said, "Well, you know, we're not going to live forever, and you're ill, and I hope you outlive me, but there's a good chance you won't. And why don't we get this thing settled?" He said, I'm not ready. I don't want to. Not now." I took some Bible verses. I told some stories. I looked at this man, and I'm thinking, you could die before daylight. And I was trying to go, I said, sir, you know, I said, I'd love to pray with you. I said, why don't we get this done? And he never was rude, but he said, preacher, I'm tired. And maybe we'll talk about it later, but I need to rest. I left a track. I said, I don't have to be here for you to get saved. You can do it. You know how? He said, I know how. And I left. I went down and got my car, and I started home, and I almost turned around and went back. I said, they're planning his funeral. He may not see daylight. He knows how to be saved. And he's still saying, not yet, not now, maybe later. And I just got mad at the devil. I teared up, and I said, Lord, he's dying. And what could I have done different? To this day, I still look back. What could I have done different? And the thought struck me. I looked out at downtown Dayton. I said, they're all dying. The whole truth is they're all dying. I'm dying. You're dying. Every day the clock is ticking. Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What did David mean by that? We will live a number of days. I don't know what my number is or yours, but it's one less than it was yesterday. Amen. We are going to leave here. Somehow or another, not now, not today. Hell is full of people. I figured it out one time at Moraine Heights. I would imagine it would work here too. I would suspect it worked at Moraine Heights because we're 70 years old. But I would suspect it would work here. I took the death rate in Dayton. I took our average attendance. I took the pews that we had and what they seat. And I, with the death rate and our average attendance and the size of our auditorium and what we were running, and I figured out, and it's highly probable that in every pew has sat someone in a devil's hell this morning, who would have given every earthly thing they ever had for one more chance to get saved. There's probably been lost people sit where you're at or very near in a devil's hell right now who would give everything they ever had for what you've got now. One more chance. Let's pray. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the day you saved me. I remember as a small child with simple childlike faith. I didn't know a lot of theology, but I knew Jesus loved me. And Lord, I thank you for that assurance in my heart. Lord, I'm sure most people here are saved. Lord, I pray you'd help us, God, to love you more, to be more like you. Help us to be faithful. Help us to avoid backsliding. Lord, help us to serve you with joy and gladness. And Lord, when you come, may we be found, Lord, faithful and working. Lord, now maybe some here have never been saved. Lord, and they've just never done that. Perhaps they're even like that gentleman that I spoke to. Lord, they believe the Bible's true, and they even understand how to be saved, but they've just never done it. Lord, that simple, essential will, that prayer, where they invite Christ into their heart. Lord, I pray they do it today. Lord, perhaps they've got questions that are real and honest and sincere. Lord, I pray that they would understand that there's folks here that will be their friend and open up the Bible and not give them an opinion, but point at a verse and say, well, this is what the Bible says about that question you have. Or maybe some need to make other decisions. Help us all to be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Can we do that? There's folks